This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about go-to-market in calendar weeks 18 and 19. Frenis is a B2B market research partner, helping ICT and tech providers identify niche channel partners by compressing the full journey from identification to qualified first meeting into 4 to 5 weeks. You can find more info in the description.
Right.
So imagine firing your entire $15,000 a month outbound marketing team tomorrow. Just, you know, completely replacing them with 12 lines of text that run totally autonomously.
It sounds wild, I know.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, that isn't some hypothetical scenario for 5 years down the road. It's actively happening right now. For this deep dive, we are unpacking a mountain of insights from the sharpest minds across LinkedIn during calendar weeks 18 and 19.
Absolutely.
And if you're a B2B marketing professional, this is basically your cheat sheet. The overarching theme we're seeing is this really brutal, rapid transition away from bloated manual sauce tool chains.
Right, into these lean AI native go-to-market systems.
Exactly. I kind of look at it like we're moving from a manual transmission car, you know, where you have 12 different pedals and levers straight to a self-driving vehicle, but only if you actually know how to build the engine yourself.
Yeah, and to build that engine, you basically have to tear out the old dashboard completely. Because for the past decade, marketers have operated under this mindset of, you know, whenever you hit a problem, you just buy a new tool.
Right. You buy a tool for data enrichment, another one for email, another one for intent.
Exactly. And the result is this fractured ecosystem, where we, as humans, just spend most of our time acting as the glue, you know, manually moving context between all these isolated interfaces. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing in the discourse right now is the total collapse of that model.
It's like hiring 12 different specialized contractors for a project, but none of them speak the same language. You just end up as the stressed out project manager running between them. But the new AI native approach feels more like a central nervous system. The AI is the brain, and instead of logging into different dashboards, it just sends, I don't know, electrical signals, basically APIs, directly to the limbs to take action.
That is exactly what Tim Cardin was pointing out recently. He noted that building a go-to-market stack used to require like a dozen different sauce seeds, plus a dedicated ops person just to hold it all together.
Oh, easily.
But now he's replacing that entire infrastructure with Claude Code running 33 different APIs from a single terminal.
Wait, 33 APIs?
Yeah, from one terminal, no graphical user interface, no dashboards, just a central language model executing commands across all these endpoints.
Which I guess explains Leczek Lamel's recent move. It was pretty drastic. He posted about dropping these massive industry giants like Apollo, ZoomInfo, Outreach, just completely out of his stack.
Yeah, that was a huge statement.
Right. And the reason he gave was that they simply aren't agent-friendly, so he replaced them with 8 API-driven tools. And for anyone listening, this concept of being agent-friendly is, it's crucial to understand.
It really is the dividing line right now.
Because an AI agent struggles if it has to navigate a visual interface built for a human, like clicking buttons, waiting for pages to load. But if a tool is API first, the agent just passes JSON data back and forth instantly.
Right. It strips away the presentation layer entirely. Aurelien Ombreau summarized this brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said the 2024 stack was all about stitching SaaS products together and, you know, calling it a strategy.
Right. The classic integration nightmare.
Exactly. But the 2026 stack is just code. You write your intent, what you want the system to do, and autonomous agents figure out the execution. You aren't renting a platform that forces you into their workflow anymore.
You actually own the orchestration.
Yes. You dictate the exact logic for your specific business.
I do want to push back on that a little bit, though, because there's this assumption that consolidating into a single terminal makes everything easier.
Right. It's just AI now trap.
Yeah. I mean, wait, if Claude is doing everything through 33 different APIs, aren't we just swapping visual software bloat for an even more complicated, opaque web of code? If an API breaks, the average marketer has no idea how to read server logs to fix it. Is this actually simpler?
Well, you're touching on the real trade-off here. It is infinitely simpler and faster to run, but exponentially more complex to build and maintain.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because when you have AI fetching data machine to machine, you eliminate human context switching. That drives massive efficiency. But because the system is built on complex logic streams instead of drag and drop interfaces, traditional marketing skills just aren't enough anymore.
B- because traditional RevOps people are suddenly locked out of their own systems. If there's no user interface, the person who specialized in, you know, configuring Salesforce dashboards or Zapier rules, they can't manipulate the central nervous system.
Exactly. And that gap is forcing the creation of a totally new role.
Right, the go-to-market engineer, the new architect.
Yeah, and Anthea Coppa shared a stat on this that is just wild. Postings for the GTM engineer role have literally doubled in 12 months. Over 3,000 open jobs in 2026.
Wow.
And Coppa was very clear, these are not sales ops people. They are the technical architects who actually code the infrastructure that generates the pipeline.
But hiring for that is a nightmare, right? Neeraj Kumar pointed this out. The role lives in this rare Venn diagram overlap that barely exists. You need someone with a legitimate software engineering background who also has deep business context.
Right, which is so hard to find.
Yeah. A traditional developer usually doesn't get B2B sales cycles or buyer psychology, but a brilliant demand gen marketer usually can't write Python scripts to maintain 33 APIs.
But when you do find that overlap, the leverage is unbelievable. You're pointing engineering talent directly at revenue generation. Nate Hall shared a really cool capstone project about this. He built an automated email quality assurance agent that lives entirely within HubSpot and Asana.
Oh, I saw that. The mechanics of that are fascinating.
Yeah.
So instead of a human spending 30 minutes parsing a draft, checking every UTM parameter, making sure the personalization won't break.
Right, stuff everyone hates doing.
Exactly. The GTM engineer scripts a workflow where an LLM does it. You tag the agent Asana, it uses the HubSpot API, tests the HTML, validates links, and reports back in like 60 seconds. It saves hours of manual checklists.
But of course, the hype around this is creating a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Kevin Payne actually issued a warning to operators about this.
Oh, about people just updating their LinkedIn titles.
Yeah. Before you call yourself a GTM engineer just to catch the trend, you need to actually be shipping real pipeline systems across 5 distinct domains.
What were the 5 again?
So you need data architecture moving data without loss, sequence systems for the logic trees, workflow automation for triggers.
Okay, that's 3.
Then AI workflow design managing context windows and prompt chaining. And finally, revenue signal interpretation, turning raw data into actual intent.
So if RevOps was the mechanic keeping the factory tools running, the GTM engineer is the architect designing the fully automated assembly line.
That's a great way to put it.
But here's the thing. An automated assembly line will just produce garbage at light speed if you feed it bad materials.
Oh, absolutely. The dirty CRM problem.
Right. Sarah McNamara had a huge warning about this. Because human SDRs, they know to ignore 6-month-old data, right? If the account owner is clearly wrong, they pause.
They have skepticism.
Exactly. But an AI agent doesn't. It trusts that dirty CRM data and acts on it with absolute confidence. It will just blast out hyper-personalized emails based on totally false premises.
It's the biggest point of failure right now. AI doesn't magically fix fundamentally broken business logic. It's a force multiplier. If your data foundation is pristine, it multiplies revenue. If your CRM is a graveyard, it multiplies the chaos.
But wait, isn't AI supposed to be smart enough to clean our messy data for us? I was saying we still have to clean our rooms before the AI robot vacuum will work.
Well, yes and no. Parsing data for cleanup is a totally different architecture than executing an outbound sequence. If you point an execution agent at a dirty database, it doesn't pause to question the structural integrity of the tables.
Right. It just does what it's told.
Exactly. If the database says someone is a CTO, it pitches them as a CTO, even if they left the company 3 years ago. This is why Coca Sexton advises this brutal audit before you plug in AI.
A 60-second test, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you trace a lead from origin to outcome in under 60 seconds? If not, your workflow requires human intervention. It's held together by Slack DMs and tribal knowledge, and AI cannot navigate tribal knowledge.
Which means data governance is suddenly the most critical function of RevOps. Jeff Ignacio broke this down into 4 layers that RevOps has to own.
4 layers, yeah.
You need a registry documenting what autonomous loops are actually running, identity controlling which AI agent has permission to alter fields in your CRM,
and observability and attribution.
Right. Observability to track API costs and error rates. So if an OpenAI update breaks your logic, you know before it sends 10,000 broken emails.
And attribution to actually trace the pipeline back to the AI workflow that generated it. Imran Patel really summed up the philosophy here. Yeah. He said, you should pay for proprietary data and own the orchestration. don't rent generic platforms.
Because everyone has the same reasoning models now. The Claude you use is the same Claude your competitor uses. The only actual moat is the highly accurate data you feed it.
Exactly.
So, okay, once the data is clean and the engine is engineered, how does it actually hit the market? Because from the sources, it looks like outbound and ABM have completely converged.
Totally. The old spray and pray model is officially dead. The new competitive advantage is extreme relevance driven by timing and intent signals.
Vanessa Ponce shared a story about this that really highlights the shift. She went from spending 10 hours a week grinding on LinkedIn to 0 hours, and she booked 12 demos in 5 days.
That's incredible.
Right. Simply by stopping cold outreach and only targeting ICP contacts who just showed a buying signal.
Yeah, setting up scrapers to monitor triggers, like a target account commenting on a competitor's post or posting a job description. The AI sees the trigger, and you reach out at that exact moment. You're joining a conversation they've already started.
And when you automate that across a whole market, it's wild. Tiberius Serbanesi posted this efficiency flex. He replaced a $15,000 a month manual GTM team.
I saw that. Researchers, copywriters, SDRs, all gone.
Replaced by a 12-prompt autonomous system. It fetches live hiring triggers, passes the data to Gemini to score the intent, and if it passes, hands it to Claude to draft the copy. It runs an entire outbound workflow in 25 minutes.
25 minutes to do weeks of manual labor. And this applies to existing pipeline, too. Kyle Poyar highlighted an AI-native play for closed lost deals that is just brilliant.
Oh, the continuous re-engagement one.
Yes. Instead of an arbitrary 9-month follow-up where a rep just says, you know, bubbling this to the top of your inbox.
Which never works, by the way.
Never. An agent continuously monitors the account for signals, like a new funding round. When the signal hits, it pulls the actual call transcript from 9 months ago, identifies the specific objection that killed the deal, and drafts an email referencing what has actually changed since then.
Oh, wow. So if it was like a missing integration, the email says, hey, we noticed your new funding, and by the way, we built that integration we talked about.
Exactly. There's a level of hyper-relevance that a human SDR just can't scale across hundreds of accounts.
And Jenna Vrancic mapped this out for 2026 ABM, showing a 7-layer motion where AI does 90% of the orchestration.
Right. Capturing triggers across the whole buying committee, routing them, and leaving sales to fine-tune just the last 10%.
But this brings up a huge question for me. If every B2B marketing professional listening right now adopts these hyper-personalized, AI-driven systems, what happens to the market? I mean, when everyone's AI is perfectly pitching everyone else's AI, doesn't the buyer eventually just become numb to it?
Oh, yeah. That is the inevitable reality of infinite scale. When the cost of generating a perfect pitch drops to near zero, the pitch itself loses its value. But Arnoa Araby shared a really profound insight that answers this.
Oh, about Anthropic.
Yes. Anthropic, the leading frontier AI lab driving this exact shift, just hired a human to run their GTM strategy for $310,000 a year.
Wait, really? The company building the AI hired a human to run enterprise sales?
Exactly. Because they know the limitation of their own tech. AI can score 10,000 prospects and write flawless emails, but it cannot look an executive in the eye and earn the deep, irrational human trust required to close a multi-million dollar deal. AI generates logic, not conviction.
Wow. That leaves you with something really important to think about. You know, you can leverage AI for all this heavy lifting, the data, the orchestration, but you have to do it specifically so you can protect and elevate your human elements, the trust, the positioning, the relationship building, because that's the stuff the machine literally cannot compute.
That's spot on.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, social selling, and AI in B2B marketing.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Make sure to subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.